working at the same people with the same culture, with relatives across, they will allow them to come to Ghana with the quantities that they were previously bringing without any hindrances.
Honorable, I think your question can be shortened.
Thank you. I will do so. Thank you.
No, the last one.
Oh, you still have a last one?
No, the other ones were full of questions.
This is your last question.
This is my last question.
All right. Please make it short.
The other one has to do with manpower levels, the strength of the various security services under your ministry. I know they have challenges. Any plans to help bring up their levels to appreciable levels so that they can deal with the challenges that confront them? It's for all of them.
Thank you very much. I think that we all know, Mr. Chairman, that as a policy of government, all government across, you require some clearance before you employ. And therefore, we will talk to, my boss to be said something similar to the effect that he will make sure he gets the Minister of Finance to understand the situation we find ourselves, especially that we want to expand and increase productivity. I don't want to go into 24-hour economy, but would require security, and therefore people would have to feel safe in the night, and we need to increase, you know, manpower so far as our security is concerned. So we'd have to bring all that, you know, on board, let all of us understand, and I believe that I will support my boss to make serious input into, you know, going forward, budgetary allocations and whatever, so that we can get money to pay them. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I want to congratulate my appointee in advance. I'm sure he will do very well in his next appointment. Congratulations once more.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes, Honorable Omar, it's your turn. And please, let's make our questions straight to the point and leave the preambles, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm grateful. Honorable Pat. Mr. Nominee and my good friend, congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding the proliferation of small arms. And my question is regarding whether you have the minister to change the regime, the licensing regime of the small arms. Believe me, whatever we do, we say that if you don't have a license, you can't carry a gun. But the guns we have in the system is amazing. I've just returned from my constituency where some conflict broke out. And I would like you to help your minister, support him, to come up with change the laws about licensing, either to upgrade it, but not to just say that you won't give out licenses. And also try to decentralize the licensing so that people within far places like Zabzugu district will not need to travel to Tamale, which is the regional capital, to get licenses or pay for their annual subscription. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Rightly so, I am going to support my boss in whichever way to help in taking care of these small arms that we have in the system. Thank you very much.
I'll have another one. Okay, please go ahead.
Thank you. The second question is about barriers by immigration, by customs, and by police. When you start the journey from Tell-Tele to Tamale, or you are traveling on Quarterly Road, you have immigration officers stopping every vehicle or motorbikes, and sometimes the salami. I don't want to tell you the details. I want you to assist your minister to at least tell immigration and other officers what their purpose is. They are not supposed to be doing vehicle or motorbike searching, but they do. And they also several things. It's amazing. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. I believe that our security services do their operations based on intelligence. But that is not to say that some of them do not, I mean, sometimes they don't go wayward. But we would examine the situation and advise appropriately. But as you said, it is true. Sometimes when you come to Parliament and you sit throughout the night till about, let's say, 11, 12, I live in Odumasi Krobo, and I drive along the mountains through Somanya to my place. You go through tough traffic from 37 through airport to Medina. When you get out of Adenta, just when you think you have some relief, there's another traffic. This time around, it is not the as a result of the number of vehicles, but police have mounted barriers, one at Oyarifa, another one at Oibi. When you climb them, you get to Obusman, there's another one. When you get to Latte Junction, there's another one. Sometimes it can be frustrating. But then they come out based on the kind of intelligence that they have. So we would look at all that and advise appropriately. Thank you very much.
I wish you well.
Thank you. Honorable Patrick Bwama, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and congratulations, former ranking Environment Committee member. My first question is on naturalization. Naturalization. And if you look at the website of your ministry, it has the photograph of your minister, the president and vice president, your acting chief director. But let me read this to you, Chairman, with your kind permission. Subject to subsection 2 of 14 of the Citizenship Act of Ghana 2000, a person qualifies for naturalization if, it's very important, I want Roxanne to listen, he has resided in Ghana throughout the period of 12 months immediately preceding the date of the application, B, during the 7 years immediately preceding the period of 12 months, he has resided in Ghana for periods amounting in the aggregate to not less than 5 years. He is of good character as attested in writing by two Ghanaians, being notary public lawyers or senior public servant. He has not been sentenced to any period of imprisonment in Ghana. is able to speak and understand an indigenous Ghanaian language, Roxanne. He is a person who has made or who is capable of making a substantial contribution to the progress or advancement in any area of national activity. He is a person who has been assimilated into the Ghanaian way of life or who can easily be so assimilated. He intends to reside permanently in Ghana in the event of a certificate being granted him. He possessed a valid resident permit on the date of his application. Time frame for the application, 6 months. Fees and charges, Form 5, 7,758 Ghana cedis. A lot of applications will be coming to you. Without scrutiny, a lot of people will get naturalized as Ghanaians. And sometimes we overlook some of these qualifications because of the IGF involved. Very important. By so doing, you would have opened the country up for insecurity. What will you be doing to assist your minister to ensure that any applicant who brings any application for naturalization satisfies these requirements to ensure that the sanctity or the security of this country is protected? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that if my minister decides to get me involved, you have just given us a checklist. I can assure you that I am going to be very meticulous when it comes to looking at such requirements. And where I need to seek legal advice, I will, to support, you know, in taking very good decisions about who becomes a citizen of this country. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very important area because lawyers like Dafia Mekwa and Co will be bringing attestations, and you have to be very careful. My second question is on the health facilities of the institutions under the Ministry of Interior. I think I only know of the police hospital. I don't know of any hospital owned by the prisons, the immigration. I stand to be corrected. I think with their numbers, we need serious health facilities to support the activities because of the operations they undertake. What are some of the strategies you'll be proffering to your boss so that if in the event that this house approves of you,
Thank you very much. I think that it came up, this issue, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This issue came up, you know, during my boss's interview. And he made it clear that apart from police hospital, prisons and fire do not have health facilities. And I believe that I will keep, you know, him on his toes, remind him as and when the opportunity comes. We'll make sure that whoever is supposed to provide us with the funds to get health facilities established will do so. Because of the lack of, health facilities in these prisons, they have to resort to taking prisoners to some hospitals, and sometimes they are unable to even pay the bills. Aside that, here they don't even have vehicles to carry the prisoners to these hospitals. So the prison officers themselves would have to hire taxis and things like that. In fact, there's a lot that we have to do for the prison service, and I think that putting our shoulders to the wheel and with the support in terms of our employer, who's the president, will be able to improve the lot of the prison service and the other services. Thank you.
Chairman, my last question is on private security companies. Their licensing, their registration, licensing, and also the licensing of bullion vans, weapons, and bullets, gunpowder, and what have you, are some of the things that I believe, with your experience, having been at the Ministry of Defense before, you have to support your minister in ensuring that some of these licenses are given to responsible people to operate. And you being a chemist or something like that, biochemist, I know, a former parliamentary candidate for Ukraine, in Kumasi. We know you. You don't have state-of-the-art forensic laboratories for these institutions, and I think with your background, you need to encourage that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do my best to get some of these things to support my boss in the ministry. In fact, he was the MPP chairman when I was the candidate. We belong to the same club, and then we came here, we found ourselves on the same committee. So that is the chemistry. Thank you.
You did a lot together on that committee.
Very well. To help Mother Ghana.
Very well. Thank you. I wish you the very best.
Thank you very much. Honorable Shaibu, it's your turn to take the floor.
Chairman, let me thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I know you've answered questions in many areas, including accommodation, but I want you to just take you back to that, because that's very critical for the police service. I note that the numbers have increased. If you go to most of the district capitals, you will find so many police personnel. So the first thing is, if your arrangements will permit, would you suggest to your minister to redeploy them, not just in the district capital, but to the other bigger towns and communities within the district? That's a starting point. If you tie that to the second bit, that still has to do with accommodation. Most of the new districts, I mean, including mine, created about some 12 years ago, still don't have housing facility for the headquarters of the police service itself, let alone accommodation for the many personnel that have been posted there. As a result, you will find police personnel, I mean, virtually like tenants in the community. I know familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. And so once they are with the community people and law enforcement become compromised, I would want to suggest if you take that on board, as you support your minister, to look at first the redeployment of the police personnel, if your arrangement will permit, to the other bigger communities within the, given that you make adequate accommodation facility for them. That's my first bit that I want to. So the second one has to do with the military barracks. So if you move away from the barracks, you now have training centers. I know there are a few of them dotted across the country. My constituency and district is proud to be hosting one of your barracks, that's in Daboya. I think that it's been expanded. I mean, the previous administration tried to do some expansion of that, but it still falls short of the basic requirements and facilities that you really need to do proper training. Would you consider, upgrading and putting military and security training has become technical now, not the physical we knew many years ago. that's a suggestion I want to put across to you, if you would consider suggesting to your minister and how you carry that across.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, did you say military? I think the defense minister was here to answer a lot of questions on that. If I veer into that, we join the police yesterday. I think that yes, indeed, there are modern ways of policing, and it requires deployments of technology. I was reading a text just a few hours before I came in, and there's this suggestion that brick and mortar police training, you know, grounds or schools, you know, can be changed. Because, the world is evolving, security is evolving, everything is evolving, and we need to move with time. Where technology, AI, a lot of things are being deployed now. So I think that the bottom line, as I said, is your ability to pay for some of these things because they are expensive. So in the meantime, we'll get them on our books. As and when we have what it takes, we can go for, search facilities to enhance training of our personnel. Thank you.
On that note, I wouldn't ask questions about your capability. I know you've done it before, and I wish you all the best in your next
journey. Thank you very much.
I will now invite the Chief Whip to come in.
Chairman, thank you very much. My brother. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
When I entered this house in January 2017, you were one of the seniors who tutored me in the ways of the house. And so I'm happy to see you where you sit.
Thank you very much.
And I have no doubt that you will succeed. Now, I have two concerns, and I believe you share one. Between Ashaman Runabout and Skuma in the Sojamine district, a distance of 85 kilometers. We have over 15 police school military barriers. And so anytime I'm traveling to my constituency, I go through these police barriers and military checkpoints. Even me as a member of parliament, it's a drudgery. So you can see the difficulties this pose for our average Ghanaian. Sometimes we have to fight practically with the security men. Because before you go onto that Dome Bridge, there's a police school, military, and now immigration barrier. You go off the area. You negotiate around the hill towards Mamiwa Takope before the boss farm tanks. You have two barriers actually. Now there's even a notice of a national security barrier. Before you enter Joapon, there are two barriers, military and police. You exit Joapon, there's a police barrier. You get to Nudu, Abuasa, you have police barriers. Apegusu, you have Frankedia. And then the outskirts of Eskuma, you have two barriers actually. You get to Eskuma, you have a GRA barrier and a customs barrier. Now, I haven't mentioned the Afienya Shy Hills ones through Pong. So, what will you do as the deputy to the Honorable Muntaka that these barriers are removed? It appears that those of us from the Eastern Frontier, we are profiled. We are so profiled that when you are exiting, you are checked. When you are going, you are checked.
You're crossing the border.
Yes. In Askuma, when you get to Askuma, it's as if you are entering another republic. The immigration officers, what they take our people through is unacceptable. So my question is, will you consider removing these barriers? So my constituents in Peki, Kpali, Kpebe, Tongo, and Sanga can move freely within the frontiers of the Republic of Ghana.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think I just narrated my experience on the Akuapim Mountains and the number of barriers. I think that we need to assess the situation. Let me give you my personal experience. The reason sometimes I think that we need to be very careful when we are dealing with some of these barriers. 2013, I came to Parliament. We closed around 1 a.m. On my way back, the police, I think I saw about three barriers. The first one, I avoided them. The next one, my instinct told me stop, and I did. Little did I know that there were armed robbers, if you know Obusumasi. The police who stopped me did not even know that, they have laid siege there. But then the 5 or 10 minutes that I spent with them, some vehicle came and they repaired. Yes, that's right. So sometimes we need to assess the situation. I am not saying that some of them are not wayward. Some of them just mount the barrier to extort. But I believe that my recommendation with that to my boss will be that let's get the police command to do a proper assessment of the areas. And where we think that they have to remove the barrier, we have to. Because if we go out there to just remove the barriers, it will also serve as another problem for us, because people will feed on it. The criminals are always around. And I believe that their presence sometimes also wards off. Apart from what they do to, road users, their presence gives us some confidence as we drive in the night, especially those of us who drive in the night. So I think we need to really do proper assessment before we get them out of the road. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, my final concern. My constituency, South Dine, we've produced a lot of national figures in the security services.
Including.
I can give a tall list of them. But training institutions for these security services have been built in a lot of places. Will you consider building one in my constituency in South Dine?
Come on, thank you, Chair. We had the first Ghanaian police, from my constituency. So if we have to start, we have to start from Odumasi Krobo. If that's the consideration. That is on a lighter side. But I think that we need to look at we need to look at your request case by case, and depending on the availability of funds too, to build. And you know, I just said something to the effect that because of technology, you may not need to establish brick and tile, you know, before you can train the police in an area or the security in an area. So that will also be considered. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Once more, congratulations.
Thank you, my brother.
But Chairman, let me use the opportunity to clarify this matter that my brother, Mahama Shaibu, his hat created a lot of problems. It was not intentional. Yes. Chairman, so they should take note. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Honorable Patricia, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Honorable nominee, congratulations.
Thank you, madam.
You and I go a very far. And I was wondering whether I didn't serve on the Lands and Forestry Committee with you. I wasn't too sure about that. But Honorable, let's go to your CV, page 2. Is it page 2 of your CV? Honorable, I observed that within a period of about five years, you held about 4 different portfolios. What was the cause for that? Between the year 2011 to 2015, you had about 4 different portfolios. And in all, you were serving in the capacity of a deputy minister.
Yes.
You are still a deputy minister. What was the reason for those changes? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm a sportsman and a footballer. And I remember there was a time I told my coach that he should change my position. Then he told me, "Dad, you know why I always keep you as the number 3? When you are there, I am confident that the 9 will always score. The number 9 will always score. I am sure when I'm there, the minister will perform." Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable. Another observation on your CV, that's page number 3. Your service to your community. I don't know whether it's a continuous service or you served at a period.
In fact, I need to update that CV.
Should I seek the leave of the chair
to
include the period?
Yes.
For record purposes.
But I can't get it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just do that.
And I think on this page 4-2, the same thing in an item, I don't know, Vice Chairman, NDC, or Forum Group. Are you still the Vice Chairman? You were. Yes.
I was.
So it's important that you serve us with it.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, you are seeking your leave?
Yeah, leave government.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Telami, I don't have any doubt at all. that you can perform creditably.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And they assign